Hey everyone, John Wertheim here. It is this week's Sports Illustrated / Tennis Channel Tennis Podcast. We have not one, but two guests today. We're going to start with Jake Elliott, whose name may only ring a faint bell in tennis circles. It rings a considerably louder bell in football circles. Jake is the kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles that just won Super Bowl 52. Of far more significance, he is a very good tennis player who almost played college tennis before he was seduced by a sport that is considerably more dangerous. Not a lot of concussions in tennis, thankfully. But Jake spent some time with us, talked football, talked tennis, talked about the overlap such that it is. This was reminiscent of our conversations with Dirk Nowitzki and Gordon Hayward, who obviously play tennis as well as major professional sports. Good guy, Jake Elliott. We start with him, and then we're going to talk a little bit with Andrea Leand. Andrea is a longtime tennis observer, former player on a WTA tour, who was at Fed Cup. I had a bunch of questions about Fed Cup, particularly Serena Williams. How did Serena look? And I was not there. So we deferred to someone who could speak firsthand. So let's start with Jake and then go to Andrea. Jake Elliott, welcome. Where are you? Where are we getting you?
I'm in a car right now. I'm just parked.
Oh, man. All right. We'll only be like 3 hours in.
All right, perfect.
We will talk about your the quasi sport of football later, but let's talk tennis now.
Let's talk. Yeah, I like that.
Real sport. What's your what's your tennis story? How tell us about your relationship with the sport.
Yeah, so started off young, probably when I was 4 or 5 years old. Just playing at this local racket club that I used to just tag along with one of my buddies too. I never really belonged there. But, started playing with him and, started growing, obviously, a real big appreciation for the game and taking it more seriously and more seriously. And, probably starting to play competitively about 8 years old and in like the under 10s or whatever it was growing up. And, played a lot of big names in the area that are making some noise now.
This is Illinois, right? It's Midwest?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who'd you play?
Like names like Jared Hiltzik, Martin Redlicky, Michael Redlicky. Trying to think of some other big guys that are up there now.
So you, I was thinking you're probably too young for the like Donald Young, Tim Smiechek generation.
Yeah, they were a little bit older. Yeah, they were a little bit older than me.
What kind of? You're not a big guy. How'd you play?
I was real quick guy, so I got a lot of balls back. Grew up playing on clay courts, so that was definitely a strength. But honestly, I was really aggressive as well. So I played a ton of other sports, so I didn't play as much as these other kids did, so I couldn't necessarily outcompete them with consistency all the time. I actually loved to serve in the volley. I loved to hit a big kick serve out wide and come in on approach on that.
I love that. I don't know if you talked to my colleague Jonathan Jones did a piece on you before the Super Bowl. Basically, said you just had otherworldly hand-eye coordination, and your coach was saying, you'd go play other sports and you wouldn't practice half as much as the other kids, and then the match would start and you'd end up winning. How serious did it get? I mean, were you thinking college tennis?
Yeah, no, I went on one visit. I went to Illinois State and, was thinking about playing there, but I was kind of back and forth at the time thinking, football obviously is just financially the better option, scholarship wise going forward. So, put a little bit more thought into that and took that more seriously, but yeah, went on a visit to Illinois State, thinking college tennis my whole high school career, really, until junior year when football came around.
This is LaGrange Lions?
Yeah, Lions Township is the high school.
Man, wait, I got trivia. What NBA head coach went to that high school?
NBA, oh, Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I gotcha.
what actor popular in Germany went to...
The Hoff.
Yeah, right. Oh. Very good. You know your...
I know my school history.
Very good. I hear it's tight most every night. Now I might be mistaken. That's not the... That's not the ZZ Top song isn't LaGrange, Illinois, is it?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
But you got Hornacek and you got Hasselhoff. Very good.
Yeah, that's all I know.
But you... I mean, you were playing at a serious level. You were coaching in the summer too, weren't you?
Yeah. I worked for our local park district, teaching little kids around, and then giving private lessons to kids in my town.
There's a vicious rumor going around that Leighton Hewitt was the player you most admired.
Yeah, that was the guy I loved to watch growing up.
What was it about him?
I think it was just how much energy he brought. He was the big come on guy and let's go, and made a lot of noise and brought a lot of excitement to the game.
So how do you make this regrettable switch from tennis to football?
Very regrettable. Pretty crazy story and involved tennis as well. I was on the tennis courts of junior high school. Actually, let's back it up a little bit. Back to freshman year of high school, I was, not playing football yet. Went to our high school's homecoming pep rally, the night before our right, big homecoming right. football game. And just got picked out of the crowd at random to do a field goal kicking contest. And, went out there and knocked a couple through. The coach came up to me and said, you should really think about playing. And, just kind of brushed it off, obviously focused on tennis at the time, was also playing basketball, and just didn't want to add another sport into there. So, brushed it off. A couple of years rolled around. It's like the middle of the summer, a couple of weeks before the first football game. And I'm over on the tennis courts, training for the year, getting ready for whatever tournaments are coming up. And coach comes over and, had heard I could kick from a few of my buddies, and then also remembered that back to that pep rally a few years earlier, grabbed me off the tennis courts and had me kick a few in their practice and knocked a couple through again. He said, come back tomorrow if you want. And decided to do it this time around, and everything just kind of rolled from there.
You had no training. You didn't just kind of messing around, kicked the ball.
Yeah, pretty much. If you go back and look at the film from my junior year, it's not too pretty. The ball went through, but it didn't look good.
So you switch over to football. How did that go over with Mr. and Mrs. Elliott?
They were all about it, honestly. They never really wanted me playing football earlier on in my life. More for the injury sake, but at the position, obviously you're not getting hit too much. So they were all for it, and obviously they wanted me to succeed in tennis as well. But crazy opportunity comes up like that, and they wanted me to do whatever I wanted to do with it.
And you obviously went and played, you played college football, and that was pretty much it for tennis.
I still mess around. I'll go back and. I keep in touch with my high school coach, pretty close with him. So every time I go back, I try to, hit around with the high school team back home.
Okay, so you're almost the exact same dimensions of Leighton Hewitt. Let's see, you're listed at 5'9", 170.
Yeah.
Do you fear, physical contact with guys that are double your weight? I mean, how does that, guys are trying to block the kick. Are you worried? You're not worried about that?
No, not really. No, not too worried about that. The last line of defense on a kickoff, but, I'll scratch and claw at their feet if they get through.
I was going to say, how many tackles you make this year?
I had one, and I got concussed.
Oh, jeez. you don't get concussed playing tennis. I just want to point that out. Tell me about being a kicker. I had to do a piece once with, remember Mike Vanderjagt, who kicked for the
yeah.
Colts with Peyton Manning.
Okay, yeah.
Canadian.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed talking to him, but it just struck me as the weirdest role that he was doing something totally different from everyone else. He had his own spot in practice. He'd go weeks without any physical contact, no violence, and then he would have this huge role. The game rolls around, and then he's got this huge role. What's it like being? What's the life of a kicker like to you?
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's not like all the other guys. Me, our punter, and our long snapper are kind of off on our own all week during practice. We'll go out 30 minutes before the team does, and get our warm up kicks in and all that, and then we'll have our field goal period right at the beginning of practice with the team, and then pretty much right after that we'll go inside for a while and. Just kind of mess around on our own in there and come back out for like a punt period for. for our punter, and then, you know, go back in. We're just kind of in and out all day. We're not really, you know, with the team the whole day per se.
In the locker room, is it kind of you guys? You like the bullpen that keeps to itself, or do you guys integrate with these 350 pound men pretty well?
Yeah, no, I mean we're all pretty close in the locker room. I mean, obviously we're with each other a lot, so obviously a lot closer in that spectrum. But I mean, I think that's something specific to our team, though. I don't know if it's like that throughout every single organization, but I mean, our team as a whole is really, really close.
I've played pool with some NBA players, and you know, you hear these stories about Steph Curry as a scratch golfer. Mm-hmm. Do you think is this a hand-eye thing? I mean, do you think the same coordination that helped you so much in tennis has bearing on you kicking a ball through goalposts, or is it a totally different drill?
Yeah, no, I absolutely think so. And I think that just has to do with playing a bunch of sports growing up as well. And, you know, tennis obviously is a huge help with hand-eye coordination and just, you know, footwork and all that goes as well. I mean, all that kind of translates over to golf for me as well.
I'm thinking, too, that, you know, you're a tennis player. It's 4-all in the third, and someone's going to win this, mm-hmm. and someone's going to lose this. There's not a whole lot of mm-hmm. ambivalence. You're going to kick that ball, and it's going to go through the uprights, or it's not. There's not a whole lot of gray yep. area there. Is there mental similarities?
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think the mental toughness aspect of it prepared me more than anything else, to be honest with you. You know, like you said, 4-all in the third. You know, it's on you. It's not on anybody else. So you're not relying on a million your other teammates to bail you out. You know, you're either going to make the kick, or you're going to miss the kick, or you're going to miss the serve, or you're going to make the serve.
You were pretty mentally tough as a tennis player.
Yeah, I would say so.
What's the status of your tennis game these days?
What's that?
Are you playing much?
I haven't recently, obviously during the season, but I'm gonna try to get back out there in a couple of weeks and try to hit the ball around. You know, sometimes I play the best when I haven't played in a really long time.
That's like all of us. When you
exactly.
Muscle memory. Where are you in the off season? You go back to Illinois?
I'll kind of bounce around. I'm kind of basing out of Philly, but headed back to Chicago tomorrow for probably five or so days, and you know, just kind of bouncing around all over the place. A couple of vacations here and there.
Tennis doesn't really do off season, at least not at the pro level. If these guys have, you know, a month, it's they're lucky before they start training mm-hmm. camp. What's this like for you? I mean, it's the middle of February. You guys played later than any other team besides the mm-hmm. Patriots in the season, and now you still have got 4 or 5 months. I mean, what is this period like for you as an athlete?
It's definitely nice to get a little break, just give your body a rest, you know, especially for all the rookies right now. You know, I've been kicking a ball basically since, you know, before training camp, my senior season in college, because, you know, right when the season ends, you have the Senior Bowl that I was in, you know, you got the combine you're preparing for, and then, you know, all that kind of rolls right into training camp. So for me, I've been really kicking the ball for like a year and a half straight right now. So I gotta rest the leg a little bit.
And what else do you do in the off season? I mean,
I'll play a lot of golf and, you know, try to relax myself and, you know, take my mind off football for a little bit. And, you know, I'll obviously get back to working out here and kicking the ball around in about a month.
I saw Wilson made you an Eagles customized racket.
Yeah. How about that?
You hit with that yet?
No, I haven't gotten it in yet. So I'll have to test it out once it gets shipped up.
I wanted to put a link on this to the philanthropy you were involved in, especially that got some publicity during the postseason. Mm-hmm. Who is Kelly O'Loughlin?
So Kelly was actually one of the girls that I taught tennis to growing up in my hometown. Yeah, so she grew up in the same hometown as me. Went to the same high school, obviously. Had a chance to kind of work with her as far as tennis goes, and you know, she was only 2 years younger than I was. So obviously, you know how the tennis teams kind of coincide with each other, the boys and the girls team. So knew her just basically through tennis and through my high school, and you know, obviously she walked in on a robbery and was murdered in her home, And, you know, that was something that really, really touched home to me and our community. And, you know, just being able to kind of relive and kind of give her an honor. I know it's been a couple of years now since it's happened. So, for me, more than anything, it was just kind of vicariously carrying her life on and, you know, giving her family a show of support and, you know, just know that she's still loved and remembered in our community.
I didn't realize, and you knew her through tennis. She was a player as well.
Yep.
Well, we'll put a link to this so people can still order shirts, and it's same website that was working during the playoffs is working here.
Yeah, correct. It's my personal website, so I think I would have to look up the link, but
we got you.
It's whatever the one I have up in my bios and all my social media.
For all of tennis's virtues, when you win Wimbledon, you don't necessarily get a parade. We are what are we? Four days later. What was that parade like in Philly last week?
Man, that was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Words really can't describe it. I mean, you just see a sea of people that's going ballistic for a couple hours straight is pretty cool. And you know, growing up in Chicago, you see the Blackhawks parades and the Cubs parade a couple of years ago, and you know, you think that's one of the coolest sights ever. But to be up on that bus and see it from that perspective is just outrageous. And Philly fans especially, just they brought it.
Yeah. When did you? I should point out. I mean, you joined the team in September. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not a guy that's you're not the 10-year veteran. When did you realize this fan base was unique?
You know, I heard all the stories coming in. It was I had a lot of fair warnings, but I think right after I hit that big kick in the Giants game week three, you kind of saw people coming out of nowhere, and just the support from the city was overwhelming. You know, I was just like an overnight sensation, and my name was all over the city, and you know, you're hearing from fans all over the place, and just the excitement around the city was pretty overwhelming.
You know, you bring up that Giants game. That was the game where you hit the game winning field goal, right?
Yeah, correct.
So what happened when everyone heard the story about Wentz offering you his game check if you made it, and you stuck that 61-yarder. Whatever happened with that? Did you end up getting that from him?
We ended up. Yeah, he ended up saying we're just going to donate it to a charity of my choice. So he just kind of put that on me and just said, you know, pick a charity that hits close home to you, and we'll send it that way.
That's what you guys did?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. So he ended up a good man. So yeah, he paid his debt. You made the field goal, and charity got a lot of money.
Exactly.
Everybody wins.
You got it.
You can go to one professional event. Where are you going? Tennis, that is.
Ooh. I think it would have to be Wimbledon. You grow up watching that. That's the, you know, the first class tennis thing that you got to see and got to go to. You see the all white, all the grass courts, and it's just, I mean, it looks like paradise.
You've never been, I take it?
No.
When do you guys have when do you have OTA? You can first week of July. You can swing that.
It's possible. It's possible. I think we do have a break between you know, late June and early July. So it's possible.
Here's what we're gonna do. You guys have a game in London next year, don't you?
Yeah.
So you're gonna go over in July. You're gonna do some publicity nonsense, and you're gonna go to Wimbledon for a few days.
That'd be pretty cool.
We'll make
that'd
that happen.
Pretty cool.
Right. So Gordon Hayward is the best tennis player in the NBA. You've come across a better tennis player in the NFL, have you?
Not that I know of. I'm not sure.
And anyone else you know play at a reasonably high level?
No, I don't think so.
I'll give you trivia. Drew Brees was in Andy Roddick's junior tennis clinic.
Oh, really?
But I think we're safe. But he wasn't playing college tennis the way you were. I think we're safe in saying you are the best tennis player.
All right, you know, I'll take that without even playing a match. I like it.
This there's a vicious rumor you and I are going to hit some balls for Tennis Channel in a few weeks. But meanwhile, try out that Eagles racket Wilson sent you.
Yeah, well, I'll have to get that thing ready.
All right, thanks. This was fun talking tennis. Congrats on the Super Bowl. You're unlike a tennis player, you win a title, and now you've got 6 months of downtime. So you got that going for you.
Very good. Very good.
All right. Thanks, man. This was fun.
All right. You got it. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for Jake Elliott spending some time with us. Again, we always like it when athletes in other sports have a background in tennis. We say that Gordon Hayward is the best tennis player in the NBA. I'm prepared to say here and now that Jake Elliott is the best tennis player in the NFL. Now let's talk with Andrea Leanne. Again, just by way of preface, there were a bunch of questions this week about Serena Williams, her return to tennis, the Fed Cup in Asheville, North Carolina. I was not there, so thought it would be good to defer to an expert and talk to someone who is actually on the ground. Andrea was there covering the event. She's a former player. She is a she's a longtime tennis observer. She has connections and contacts, obviously, to Serena Williams' camp. So I just sort of wanted to, on behalf of you, the curious readership and audience, I wanted to get a firsthand take of where Serena Williams is. All right, let's bring in Andrea right now. You were in Asheville, North Carolina. You were at Fed Cup. Start riffing.
It was great. It was a fabulous time. The intimate setting, packed house. The crowd was so appreciative of it all. Venus, 1,000 wins, really held down the fort and sealing it for the U.S., moving them to the semis against France, which will be in April. But, of course, all questions, John, were on Serena. As we all know, what condition was she in? Was she ready to go? Everyone was so excited just to see her on the premises. And they finally did get to see her on court. She played the doubles the last match with her sister. But I think it was tough, John, because, you know, she's still in that process of really getting back into mode and to competitive shape and, you know, dealing with how to manage the baby and a husband. And they were fantastic. I have to say, they sat there, and this little baby Olympia, she's in on it. She has 2 feet in on her mother's comeback.
She's bought in.
Not one tear. Yeah, she was great. She's not one tear, and she sat the whole time through all the matches and practices. I did get a glimpse of Serena in the practice, did as well as off court in her conditioning. And there really isn't anything to report. That was the whole real thing. There's nothing to say. There's nothing to report right now because she's such in the beginning process of it all. And I think that the good news is this is a cold shower for her. She really got to see a reality check of where she is. You got to put the yoga pants away, get the skirt out, and realize where she was in comparison to Coco and, of course, her sister Venus and Lauren Davis, who are also on the team. But it's a very, very nurturing environment with Captain Kathy Rinaldi and the USTA behind her. But I think that you know, now it's a reality check on what she needs to do to get back into competitive matches.
How far? I mean, I got a lot of questions, and honestly, I'm like, I'm not there. I'm not really in a position to make assessments. I mean, is this? Listen, she just gave birth less than half a year ago. This is going to take time, or are you concerned that this is not a player ready to, for example, play Indian Wells in 3 weeks?
I think that would be a very, very lofty goal to play Indian Wells. If I were Serena, first of all, she's given us 23 Grand Slams. She's dominated the game for a decade. She's given us enough. Now it's about, you know, doing for herself and what she wants and what her personal goals are. So in that regard, she's got to do it on her own timetable and not come back until she's ready and not feel pressured to do so. Of course, everyone wants her in Indian Wells in Miami. And, of course, the whole sport does. And it'd be great for, but she's got to do what's good for her. And that means her timetable should be in that she comes back where she's comfortable going on court, facing Maria, facing Sloane Stephens in that first round. She won't be seeded. She doesn't have a ranking. And she's going to have to really hit the ground running from that first match. And those two tournaments are so tough, as you know, John. The big draws, everyone wants to peak there. So it'll be the toughest thing. I think the better move would be to come back in Charleston. But it's good that she has goals now, I think. The team is coming. The team's coming together to try and really circle the wagons and get her back on the routine. You know, I remember a little bit this in 2011 when she came back from all the series of injuries and even a pulmonary embolism then. And it is different than the fact she's coming back from maternity leave. But the same thing applies. It was hard to get her off the couch, hard to get her motor going and back into really that drive of wanting to get into condition. And they sent her to Paris. She got everything going over there, and the rest was history. And I think the same applies here. I think they have to get her motor going. And once she gets going, she'll see that light at the end of the tunnel. I think the next 3 weeks are going to be the toughest for her in her tennis career. And if she can get through these next 3 weeks and just do the hard stuff and have that discipline, then I think, you know, the coast will be clear for her.
Just to repeat, these next 3 weeks you think are going to be the toughest 3 weeks of Serena Williams' entire career?
I do, in her tennis career, because this is where she's trying to come back at 36 years of age. It's already unprecedented to come back with the pregnancy, with the baby, all these excuses. She's got 5 zillion reasons and excuses not to be able to do this, and she could pull any of them out, but I don't think she is, John, because I'll tell you what gave me the most hope. On Saturday night, after the first day of matches, her sister won easily. Coco, as we all know, the colorful Coco that she is, I uttered a few words I don't think you would hear in the halls of your alma mater, but a new version of the English language. But she got through that match to give the U.S. a 2-love lead. But the feeling was Serena going to play? And people were really anxious about it. And no one really knew where she was. And there it was, John. I got back. I looked at my Instagram. Up flashed a picture from Serena. This is the picture. The game face was on, as serious could be. No baby, no husband, no nothing in the picture but a tennis court and her. And that, to me, said, don't feel sorry for me. Don't think that I'm not going to do this, because I am coming back. I am going to do what it takes, and I'm going to make it back and get those two titles.
That's great. I mean, again, you were there. I wasn't, so I'm glad I'm glad you were able to weigh in.
I think she's got the game face on. I think that this was a perfect thing. Yeah, there was a lot of questions. Should you put her in the doubles?
Right.
Should you play her when she's not 100%? And, you know, but I give credit to Serena. She put the white, you know, spandex shirt on. She got out there. She ran down every ball she could, tried for every single shot. You saw that kind of innate offensive play, you know, where she's moving forward, being aggressive. You saw all the ability there. But obviously, I'd say she's a good 6 weeks away, if not 2 months away, from being where she really wants to be. The good news is these 3 weeks, though, is where she has to get over that little hump. And I think if she can really apply herself in these 3 weeks and just realize this is going to be the tough 3 weeks that will set up everything, I think she'll be good to go. But, you know, it's tough. As she said, this is going to be a long journey. She did not manage her time, she says, as well as she would have liked in Asheville, and having her baby and her and everyone there. But it was a good learning experience. I think you needed that cold shower, John, in order to now, you know how to do it when it becomes really important in these tournaments.
I appreciate this. Again, you were there. You had a front row seat. I got a lot of questions about this, and honestly, I was in no position to answer. So thanks for the dispatch. We'll do it again.
Great. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, Andrea. Take care. All right. Thanks to Andrea Leand for that dispatch from Asheville, North Carolina. Thanks to Jake Elliott. Good guy. Kicker. Super Bowl champion. Almost a college tennis player. Jamie, thank you as always for your trusty producing. I'm going to bring you in, as Richard Deitch always suggests that I do. He doesn't do that with you as much. But we will happily talk tennis. Did you have a chance to see Serena at all?
I did not. I did see lots of photos and the baby.
A lot of social media traffic in every sense. I mean, one thing that was interesting to me was that when Serena played Ostapenko, I think it was New Year's Eve, actually, in the Middle East, and then decided not to play Australia, she seemed a little rusty, and there were some questions about timing. And it's, again, all of this is perfectly reasonable, perfectly expected. She
and then we found
gave
out about,
birth, and we exactly. Yeah. And then we found out not only did she give birth, but we found out how difficult and challenging and frankly frightening that childbirth was. So I think all of this is completely normal and to be expected. And yet it seemed as though there was more chatter about Serena and the state of her game and the state of her fitness in Asheville, in North Carolina, in January than there had been 6 weeks earlier. So, you know, again, Andrea doesn't seem to think Serena's will be ready for Indian Wells. I suppose we'll see. I know if I've learned anything covering the sport, it is you do not underestimate or doubt Serena Williams. So whatever she decides. But, it's an interesting, it's a little tricky to cover. You certainly want to give the entire context as a 35-year-old woman who just gave birth. If she needs extra time, she needs extra time.
I think, she's human. We've seen her lose, you know, majors that she's in matches that she's supposed to win, even she looks like she's on top of the world. So I think it's understandable that, she looked like a player who really had not played in a long time. And like you said, she wasn't just sitting on her couch eating Oreos and milk and kind of like going on vacation every week. I mean, she had a baby and she kind of went through this complete life change. She got married, and I'm sure there was a lot of things that she dealt with that, you know, she wasn't expecting. So I think she's human in that respect, but I also think the superhuman side of her in terms of recovering and getting back will get there. I don't think she can flip a switch, as you said, at her age, but I'm definitely not counting her out.
I also think even for such an extraordinary athlete, you said this, there's some really interesting sort of twists and turns here. I mean, this is not a linear, predictable career. And sometimes she's on top of the world, and then she'll go a year without winning a major. And then she'll lose. Remember when she lost early in the French Open to Virginie Rizzano, and everyone said, oh, boy, this is the end for Serena, and she's crying during the match, and she's losing to a player outside the top 100, and then 5 weeks later, she's winning Wimbledon. She wins the first three majors, and then she loses to, you know, Roberta Vinci at the U.S. Open in a match she probably wins 98 times out of 100 on a neutral context. So who knows? All of which is to say, take your time. Let's just hope we see her back in some capacity.
And I think tennis has shown us that, if anything, a break, for whatever reason it may be, is beneficial to a player, especially a player who is aging and kind of, you know, been on tour for so long. You know, we kind of saw it with Federer. This is obviously very different, but
my favorite factoid is that if you were born the day Serena Williams won her first major, you'd be in college right now. So you have longevity like that. You get to plan your own schedule. Let me ask you about another incident where you and I were not there in person, but it seems to be getting quite a bit of traffic and traction. It is now Tuesday. What is it? About 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And my day has unexpectedly been, I don't want to say hijacked, but the Ryan Harrison, Donald Young dust up on Monday night has taken an extraordinary amount of my social media bandwidth, if nothing else. You've probably seen the video, which doesn't seem to be particularly conclusive, but Donald Young, I should say, does not strike me as someone who makes charges. Donald Young does not strike me as particularly confrontational. Absent definitive evidence one way or the other, do you have thoughts on this? When this crossed your transom, what'd you think?
Well, like you said, we both weren't there. The video doesn't really show much. There is not much audio. We talked about it. I mean, one thing, Ryan Harrison maybe has had some past dust-ups in kind of
a lot of dust
searching around. I kind of remembered the one quote from Kokkinakis back in the day where he's like said he should have decked that kid or something.
Yeah, Cincinnati, right.
Yeah, so that kind of triggered for me that I sort of remembered, maybe there is some history in this way. It would be interesting to see the ATP is now investigating. So they're going to look at all video and audio. So it would be interesting to see what they come up with.
You would think a chair umpire would quickly say,
correct.
Oh, yes, I heard this, or oh, yes, I did not hear this. The one person tasked with being keyed into to the match in that capacity.
Clearly, there weren't court mics as there were when Wawrinka and Kyrgios played.
Oh, good point. Exactly. Court mic would have picked that up, and we would have our answer. No, I think you're right. I mean, I think, and I'll write this tomorrow as well, that this does not occur in a vacuum, and that Ryan Harrison has a history, a regrettable one, I would say, of having these confrontations. You say dust up with other players. I mean, this is, we can tick off four or five of these in recent memory alone. So we will see where this goes, but this was not a this was not a pretty moment. All right, on that happy note, that will do it for this week. Again, thanks as always to Jamie, thanks to Andrea Leanne for some thoughts from Asheville in Fed Cup, which I think I may have called Davis Cup inadvertently, forgive me, or edit that out. Thanks to Jake Elliott, Super Bowl winning kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles, who spent some time with us, big tennis fan. And thanks to you all for listening. We will have another podcast coming up next week. We have some good guests lined up. We may have a number one ranked player who will go nameless. And again, you can get this wherever you find podcasts on Stitcher. Where else do I always get this wrong?
Apple Podcasts.
You said Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes.
Leave us a review.
Leave us a review, please. Thanks, Jamie. What would I do without you? All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week. We'll be right back.